Fanboys and Friends Podcast presents.
Tried to do everything myself.
Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Just reduced Kanan's targets by half. Tell our fearless leader he should be able to handle one lone TIE fighter on his own. What was that?
In a time of darkness, when fear ruled the galaxy, heroes will rise, destinies will collide.
Who is that kid?
And a rebellion will ignite.
Get ready.
Now!
A round table discussion about Star Wars Rebels.
If all you do is fight for your own life, then your life is worth nothing.
Get back up there and fix the deal.
Wait, are you fighting stormtroopers?
What makes you say that?
Do it, I'll take it.
You kidding? This is a blast.
Now, join the rebellion as it is time for Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Hey folks, and welcome to a new episode of Red 5 Transmissions Radio. I am your host, David Senden, piloting the Ghost, and with me on the Ghost, in the co-pilot seat, as always, your friend and mine, all the way out in, you know, sunny, cold, windy, smelly Dagobah, Florida, Matt Clifton. Matt, welcome back.
Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon.
What, your Truman Show?
Well, it's whatever time you're listening to the show right now.
Well, of course. Okay. You don't want to confuse our audiences. You don't want to make them like the whole Legends canon debate.
Oh, boy.
very, a tip of my hat to you, dear boy.
Yes. Thank you,
sir. All right. Well, let's get into this latest episode, Breaking Ranks. And yes, I know, as you're listening to this, you're like saying, it hasn't premiered yet. It hasn't premiered yet. And I'm like, well, guess what? Here, you can't stop the signal, son. Oh, wait. That's like the Pale Imitation franchise of Rebels. I'm sorry. Oh, darn.
No, it's the digital age. On demand or your app or whatever. It's
yes,
the future.
It's the digital age. It's the future. Future. Anyway, let's talk about this episode. Okay, Matt, first impressions of Breaking Ranks.
All right, well, three words. Stormtrooper, target, practice.
Yes, definitely. This was really reminding me of the Domino Squad.
Yes.
And that whole, you know, training ground, right? Remember
that?
Oh,
wow. Yes. Good comparison.
Which, by the way, I got to say, I want to see Celebrations make that training ground. I want to see that. You know, I want to go to Celebration Anaheim or Celebration whatever and see that. Yeah. I want to see that. I want to see flying droids that you can ride and a Zillow Beast comes out and attacks you. I mean, come on.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
How have we not seen this yet?
It's in the works.
Oh, yes. I'm sure the Belgians are listening, you know, and going, well, here's an idea.
Yeah.
But, no, I thought this episode was great. You got to see Stormtrooper School, which was nice to see. You got the Taskmaster Grint and
Oresko.
And Oresko, is that what his name is?
Yep.
Oh. So someone was looking at a can of Crisco, were they? Oresko. I just know the dude looks sickly. He looks like he has a case of jaundice.
Yes, he does.
And I'm like, I want to hand him a Twix bar. I'm like, eat something, would you?
Oresco, have a Snickers. Why? Because you get grumpy when you're hungry.
Oh, you went there.
Yes, I did.
You went there. Nice. Skype high five. Yeah. Boom.
Boom.
Nice. Very well played.
Thank you.
But no, this episode, I gotta just say, what Pablo Hidalgo made pretty crystal clear, you know, as clear as the lakes on Naboo. But Pablo stated that by the time of Rebels, there are no more clones.
No, there aren't.
And I know we've debated time and time again this issue. Like in Star Wars fandom, we debate everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although these days to somewhat unhealthy ramifications. But that's a whole other bag of Minox. Yeah, I don't want to go into that.
Oh, yeah.
But what I like about Pablo's statement is, automatically, it feels more like you can relate to it. Because, you know, Stormtrooper, that term came out of our own history.
Yes.
Part of my a little gripe, little itty-bitty gripe. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not turning sides, people. Get that out of your mind. But a little tiny gripe with the prequels is that the clones, it was an interesting concept and an interesting evolution to get to the Stormtrooper, but it just didn't feel like a relatable army. Like, you weren't rooting for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Until, of course, the Clone Wars filled in that gap by the brilliant D. Bradley Baker, who gets all the credit for
all
doing
the credit.
That. All the credit. You know, it's like, give him the credits.
No, but you're absolutely right about, you know, these are stormtroopers and not clone troopers. And when we see, like, them training, and there's a part where Ezra, you know, makes a go for to get to the top and all that, and Oresco says, you know, victory at any cost. Do whatever you have to do to win. This was a huge, huge departure from the clone troopers, that they were brothers, you
yep,
know, brothers
very
in
much
arms,
so.
And fighting together and all that. And this really resonated with me because, you know, when he said that, I was just like, wow, you know, no more brotherhood. It's over.
Yeah, it's easier to latch on to because we've seen that. We've lived it.
Yes.
Or at least those older guys before us have lived it, but still, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and of course, if you want brotherhood, I mean, there's the whole Ghost and the crew for that one.
Yes, 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 yes.
I do like that, you know, we also learned that why Ezra's undercover, you know, Chopper's undercover, and I do kind of like seeing a droid in blackface.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Hey,
no.
I didn't mean that as a dig. I'm
all
like,
right, all right.
You know, if people take it as a dig, I don't mean it that way, all right? But it's
okay.
Nice to see, you know, Chopper kind of, you know, joining,
in disguise.
Joining the idea. Yeah. Joining the idea.
I got a big kick out of that, too.
Yeah.
I was like, is that Chopper? Oh, it is. They just painted him black. That's great.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. He actually looked like, wasn't there a black R2 in episode 4? I believe it was R5-D4, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but that was like it was more like a painted black, like red, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was the black R2 that got like no attention.
Okay.
So I kind of felt like this was a nice nod to that.
All right.
Kind of
yeah.
Give that astromech a little bit more attention.
Mm-hmm.
There, mm-hmm. Is that better than blackface droid?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
All right. All right. Cool. Cool. Cools. Now, the mission, Ezra is after, it's some inhibitor, isn't it, or some...
Yeah, that, I was trying to get on that, too. Was he after information about a new, a new weapon, or?
Well, it was information on a Kyber shipment.
Okay. Okay.
And of course, that is interesting because did you see the 4-part arc that came out on StarWars.com?
Which one?
I believe it was the Crystal Crisis.
No, I missed that one.
Watch that because I think they were unintentionally or intentionally, of course, trying to connect to this one.
All right.
But, you know, Ezra gets, the code for, you know, to intercept a Kyber shipment. Because Ezra and Hera are waiting in the ship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can I just say, one of the many things this show is doing right is the Hera and Kanan back and forth.
Yes, big time.
I mean, it's Kanan, he's getting a little edgy.
Yeah, you gotta love the chemistry between these two characters.
You gotta love it. I mean, you go back to the, I believe it was the Chopper Saves the Day short, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever the title was.
Ghost in the Machine.
Yeah, Ghost in the Machine. Nice reference to Sting in the old days of Police. I'm sure somewhere Sting is like, they stole my idea. But, you know, Sting has enough money. Why would he care anymore?
Yeah.
But nice not doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, what I did like is that in that one, if you remember, there's this little moment where, you know, Kanan's kind of leaning into Hera, and you get this little idea of flirtation, and it would have gone unless, you know, Chopper intervened and was like,
yes.
So you got that idea, and I gotta say, that's a nice thing of Star Wars fandom. They'll pick up on anything.
Yeah.
Even if it's a small, relevant matter.
Mm-hmm.
No other fandom that I can think of, Matt, does that.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because normally movies show up, make noise, disappear. I can think of one right now, Michael Bay.
I thought we weren't going to bring up that name anymore.
No, but still, you know, it is an example to my point.
Very true.
But, you know, Star Wars, it shows up and it's never stopped making noise.
Nope.
And, you know, thanks to a certain mouse running around a certain house, it never will. You know, I always used to say, I'll outlive Star Wars. And I'm like, after October 2012, I'm like, well, tack with that idea.
Nope. We will never outlive Star Wars.
Actually, when they announced Episode 7, 8, 9, I'm like, I heard the time frame of when they were coming. And all of these movies, I'm like, I ought to change my eating habits.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So, because I said the same after Marvel's big announcement. I'm like, how am I living now? How am I living through this?
Oh, boy.
That was just nuts. But, you know, back to the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Kanan's edgy.
Yeah.
When Kanan says, I love the moment where Kanan says, I should have done this myself. And Hera calls him on it like, you would have made a good cadet.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great seeing Kanan edgy like that. And, you know, that he really cares for Ezra.
Yeah, he's starting to develop feelings. His hair may be wood, but his emotions aren't.
Well, it was good to see, like, you know, like we've said before, the big brother or even a father figure to Ezra. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we started to see that last week with Rise of the Old Masters. Mm-hmm. Especially after, you know, after, spoiler alert, after Kanan realized he'd been duped.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I gotta bring this up. I know it was last week, but still, I kind of would have wanted it to be Deba Balaba, because you would have seen more Kanan conflict if it was.
Well, she's already gone, though, right? We know that she's dead, right?
Well, we know the Luminara, but I would have preferred it be not Luminara, Deba Balaba.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
Because if that were the trick, then you would have seen more emotional reaction from Kanan.
Well, big time. Big time.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know, I mean, given the... Again, if you haven't read Star Wars A New Dawn, first of all, you're insane. And second of all, what are you waiting on?
Exactly.
Are you waiting on the sheaves? I know.
You always got to get it into the episode. Always got to get it into the episode.
I know. We can't get away from it, man.
Oh. That's the sheep's want... itch.
Yeah, I got the sheep itch. I need that episode 7 trailer to drop now.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, if you haven't read Star Wars A New Dawn, you know, it's revealed, of course, who Kanan's teacher was. And that's why I just felt that Rise of the Old Masters could have been served by having the trick be Deba Balaba. Then you would have just gotten that little extra from Kanan.
Yeah, agreed on that.
I mean, granted, it worked well either way.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos to Dave Filoni in the game for that one creepy moment, because it just happened to be Halloween. So it was like Rebel was saying, ha ha ha, gotcha.
it worked, though. It worked.
It really worked, because I was like, kids show my left, my not. My not,
yep.
Please. Mm. Anyone says kids show again, I'll find that little delete Facebook button. I'm like, see ya.
There you go.
Ah.
There you go. Hey, but when Ezra was sneaking into Kallus's office to get the paperwork or whatnot, did you hear a little bit of Raiders music in there?
Just a bit. Just a tiny bit. The music is another thing, because unlike the last few episodes where there's been so much, you know, like a John Williams mixtape.
Yes, yes.
I kind of felt that overall, the music felt a tad more kinder.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, I don't mind a balance. As a matter of fact, I will say that a balance is what needs in this show, just because, you know, Clone Wars, for as great as it was, and still is, you know, if you're not watching it, you should go on Netflix and watch it, people.
Mm-hmm.
Binge watch, you know, binge watching, a thing we were doing way before Breaking Bad made it a thing.
This is true.
But anyways... One of my gripes is, other than a few episodes in the first season, the John Williams stuff disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still there, but, yeah, a little less. But,
Well, it was like, you know, we're getting... You know, Kiner's original stuff this episode showed, and Kiner is a brilliant composer,
mm-hmm.
right? But we're also getting, like I said several weeks ago on the program, we're also getting Kiner Unchained.
Yes.
I know, I'm stealing from that Django Unchained movie, but it still works. And I like that. I like that, you know, we're getting new, because I'm not opposed to new music. Mm-hmm. And we're also getting that little breath, that little whiff of oxygen,
yeah.
right? That we can go, ah, that felt nice.
Yeah, he just needed to catch a stride and get situated in the series, and then he'll definitely find his own way of scoring the show.
And I think with this episode, he largely has.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
But it's, and you know, it's not like the John Williams stuff is going to be ignored throughout. No. As a matter of fact, you can't ignore it throughout. No. One, you know, it's criminal from a fandom point of view to do so. And two, Rebels is mostly Georgeless, so it's kind of like, guys, do whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless you explain that Vader scene, that feels like it had George's advice written all over it.
It could, probably. Probably. But, you know, Dave's undergone his full George training and graduated from that school with full honor, so he's trained in the ways of GL.
I agree, yes. As I said last week, GL pulled off the ultimate Doctor Who and regenerated into Dave Filoni.
Yes. I love that idea.
Yes, it's kind of like, Whovians, we will love you too.
Mm.
If you're a geek, I don't care if you're a Whovian, you could be, as long as you're not Babylon 5.
Oh, no love for the Babylon 5?
No, I don't really have love for the Babylon 5.
Alright.
You know, had they put Star in the title, I would have been more, because, you know, I'm a Star polygamist. I got love for all the Star franchises.
Even what about Farscape?
Even Star Search, but that never went anywhere.
Alright. Farscape fan?
Farscape, I love Farscape, mostly all because right. Farscape to me is like if you put the Muppets on a big spaceship.
That's basically what it was, yeah. Right? Jim Henson.
Yeah, and just put rocket fuel under it.
There you go.
It's like a big Muppet episode. Except Farscape could have used the da 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 da.
Jeez.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. You asked my opinion. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Anyway, back to the episode.
Back to the show. When Ezra and them were the cadets were training, and he's jumping from platform to platform, it was great to see Oresco make a note of his ability to be so agile and basically see when the platforms were coming out even before they came out.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, you know, he shows great talent, and please make a note of that.
Yeah, so, I gotta say something about that. A little nitpick. You'd think everyone in the Empire would know, Jedi to some degree.
I don't think so. I don't think
all I'm saying, though, is you can assume that, right? But right. With assuming that, you're like, Ezra, you might blow your cover if you keep this up.
Okay. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's neat to see these guys have already been made note or trained to be able to notice the suspicious. Like if one of their cadets is force sensitive, they can spot that and then make a note of it, and then later we see the consequences of that.
Right. Yeah. That totally. Like my suspicion is Palpatine would have told everyone to some extent, hey, these are the people you're looking out for.
Yeah. It's like if you notice, like, you know,
a very unusual child.
Exactly, of agility or, you know, memory or something like that. Make a note of that.
Yeah. Now, Ezra, in the scene in Callus's office.
Yes.
We'll call it the Callus Palace, for lack of a better word.
Oh, I love that.
The Callus Palace.
The Callus Palace.
Yes, we need a restaurant open now.
Actually, it kind of sounds like a strip club, but all right.
Well, I don't know. You know, that's why I didn't put Gentleman in it. Okay.
I'm sorry. Family show.
Come on, man.
I apologize.
You dinged me on blackface, I'll ding you on that.
All right.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. But no, in the Callous Palace, boom, chicka boom, wow. No. But see what you did? You derailed the entire thing.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Jeez. Yeah, you're not really sorry. Come on, you're from Florida. You're better than that.
Oh, this is true.
I'm stuck out in Indiana. We have no better than that. It's like the Tatooine of no place.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, when Ezra is in Callous Palace,
yes,
he successfully has the information.
Mm-hmm.
But before he's about to leave, he's encountered by one of his fellow cadets. Now I gotta ask, only because we can assume there's gonna be some bridger out there. I go again, bridge between. Yep. Rebel was in episode 7.
Yes.
But is that Boyega?
Hey, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. I was thinking the same thing. How many years do we have?
Between Rebels and episode 7?
Yeah.
Rebels and episode 7. I believe, spanning wise, it's 60.
Be too far then.
Well, I said I believe. I don't have like a Pablo Hidalgo Bible record in front of
my
me.
My bad. But maybe some relation to Boyega.
Yeah, maybe some relation to Boyega, or maybe an early child of Lando's line. I don't know.
Hey, who knows?
Lando jumped to the only existing black guy in the original three movies. It's like, nice one.
Jeez. But yeah. Zar Leonis,
yes. And no, he was not dancing to turn down the what?
Oh,
I'm sorry, I can't get that Boyega Instagram thing out of my head. But anyway, Zar Leonis. We learn more about him too. He's helping Ezra when we first meet him.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can't walk out of here with that. This whole place will be on lockdown if you pass this sensor.
Yep.
So he's helping him.
Yeah.
Because at first, when that door opened, we thought, you know, Ezra had gotten himself in some stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah. Stuff. We'll just say stuff. Family show.
Yeah.
Or at least we try to keep it a family show. I don't know about you and your Callous Palace nonsense.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. We do what we can.
Yeah.
We're a new show, people. We do what we can. We're moving along. But anyway, okay, so we learned that his sister was taken.
Yes. Yes, his sister.
Yes, which I gotta say one thing, right?
Yeah.
Dave Filoni has learned so well. That is so George. I mean, if you don't have a brother or sister that's been gone or you don't know, then it ain't Star Wars.
Yeah.
It might as well be something else.
Yeah. We can assume that she was noticed as Force sensitive. And then taken to who knows where by the Inquisitor.
Mm-hmm. We got to see the Inquisitor again. Yay!
Yes!
I thought we'd have to wait. You know, but no, I keep trying to unfairly compare things to that other show where we had to, you know, wait until, like, you know, some filler episodes got some jollies out of George in terms of what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, I will say, Clone Wars, he spent like an eccentric billionaire.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, throwing money at whatever he could do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Obviously, he did some episodes that were taking him back to THX Lum 38 days.
Yeah.
Obviously making, Francis Ford Coppola's ears bleed, I'm sure. But anyways.
Yeah.
All right, so the more training.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fun to see more Stormtrooper school, I'll tell you that much.
Yes.
I love where, the little hologram sequence where Chopper is showing the hologram to Zeb and Sabine. Ezra is staying to help out.
Yeah.
And I love how Ezra's clearly in the hologram even calling Zeb on his stuff. Saying, hey, look, I've clearly been hanging around you heroes too much.
Yes.
The old Ezra wouldn't have done this.
Yeah.
So I love how he's basically calling it out.
Yes. Again, the chemistry. The chemistry is great.
Oh, the chemistry is spot on.
Yes, big time.
And, people, would you stop comparing it to Firefly? Because I only found half of the chemistry working on that show, to be honest.
Oh, well, it's a fair comparison. But I will say this, David. It's a show that shows a family, and the chemistry between these characters is more believable. And I don't mean to hate, but say a certain Marvel show on TV.
Yeah, that's all we'll say on that one.
And seeing these, taking these characters as like being, friends in a family is more believable and digestible than that. But
yes,
that's all.
But, all I'm saying with Firefly is the only character comparison I see. I can see the chemistry to a point. I still think, give me Rebels chemistry over Firefly chemistry.
Well, sure.
But the only character comparison I see on Firefly is Zeb.
Zeb
is straight up Jane.
Yeah, agreed to that. But it's just a formula, that's all. It's the space cowboy formula.
Oh yes, I know. It's the space cowboy formula. And no, that's not Kanan's character because the formula was doing it first.
Yeah. It's just other shows have done it even before Firefly, Outlaw Star, Cowboy Bebop, etc.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's talk about Kanan and Hera's mission. They're stopping the Kyber shipment.
Yes.
Now, granted, if this sounds familiar for the uninitiated, but if you are uninitiated, I'm starting to wonder where you've been. Not to sound mean, I'm just like, well, what rock have you been under for the last 30 years? Kyber crystal. It's like, I'm sorry. My mind just blew. I'm just like, they're calling back to some of the old stuff that didn't even make it into the films. I mean, granted, Kyber Crystal was like back when George really made a complicated mess out of what the Force was.
Gotcha.
Wanted to get all big and grandiose and deep with it. I'm like, No. I'm glad it was boiled down.
Yeah.
To where it made sense.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be like, wait, so you need this to power that and this and that and... It'd be like that chemistry thing you're talking about with that certain Marvel show you mentioned.
Yes.
But anyway, we're not going to, turn into those kind of podcasters.
No.
But okay, so they go to stop this Kyber crystal, which is in Imperial hands.
Yes,
because Hera drops a line to Kanan. You know what the Empire will do with a crystal like that? And given the fact that is green, let's see, big, green. I wonder what Palpatine could be using them for. super laser.
This is just a thought.
Well, you know it's not going to be a Dr. Evil thing. I want sharks with freaking laser beams on their heads.
Yeah, so we can assume that this crystal was headed to a top secret building of a certain space station.
To be overseen by a certain governor of a certain town that needs to be in a certain season too.
Just that we know he's near,
and it needs to be a certain Stephen Stanton.
It's going to be him, and it is him. And
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know. But okay, so we actually get fun dogfights.
Oh man, how about those action sequences?
Dude, I haven't seen a good dogfight in years.
Cutting between that and what's going on at the academy at the same time. Now, you really didn't get a chance to catch your breath.
Now, that is some geo learning from Filoni.
Yes, and some excellent directing.
No, yeah, very excellent directing. High quality directing, I would say.
Yeah, you're just standing at the edge of your seat the entire time as Hera and the Phantom are dogfighting in space, and then you got the Walker scuttle going on at the Academy.
Right. Yeah, right. The Walker scuttle. I'm glad you called it the Walker scuttle. Now, I do like those Walkers. Aren't those an old Joe Johnson design?
I think so.
Yeah, I love how they're. A lot have said, why is it recycling so much? And I'm like, well, why not recycle?
Yeah.
One, it's Ralph McQuarrie, and you know what? If you're saying the art of Ralph McQuarrie should die, let me tell you, shush.
Absolutely not. You're listening to the wrong podcast.
It's like you're listening to the wrong podcast, folks, if you're thinking that.
I mean, God, you're in the wrong fandom if you're thinking that.
Yeah, it's like, good Lord. Go be excited about DC if there's anything to be excited about.
And before all this happened, I gotta say, again, Stormtrooper target practice. This must be a prototype. This must be brand new, just introduced to the Empire.
Well, it must be, yeah. There was a lot that was... again, I'll go back to that Domino Squad.
Yes.
Comparison. There was a lot that was very reminiscent of this. Basically the design of the well and whatnot.
Yes.
And first of all, can I just say this use of a well, a lot more interesting than that and certain Marvel use of a well.
Oh, yep.
Or the box. I was about to get to that.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, hopefully people are used to us rambling by now.
Yeah.
A few shows in, I suppose.
Yeah.
It was reminding me of that, less droids. I don't know. The Empire isn't in the mood to recruit droids, but it will apparently recruit Admin Costello, because you look at those Imperials and it's kind of like, dude, one looks like a skinny twig and the other looks like he fell off of Jabba.
Hey, Abbott!
I know. Hey, Abbott! Oh, it's that guy again. suddenly I get the feeling that we need Mel Brooks to write for those two.
That would be awesome.
Just to see some kind of side adventure with those guys.
Oh man.
maybe it could be an episode where they try and go get fruit, and we see if it works on the Imperial side.
Oh gosh.
Something tells me it wouldn't.
Nah, I think they go for a cake anyways.
Something tells me that wouldn't work either.
Go for the pudding cake.
Something tells me Grint would eat it.
Probably.
and become fatter.
Well, you saw how he was munching down those Yogans and Spark a Rebellion.
Well, yes. I was about to say Taskmaster Grint might as well have been pulled right out of that asteroid field the Falcon was flying through. It's like a big asteroid with no neck and feet. But, you know, it's okay to dog on the Imperials, right?
Yeah, you're right.
We've only been doing that for 30 years now.
That's right.
30 plus. You know, so it's kind of like, it's all right to pick on them. But no, I love this whole episode. The squabble, the stuff outside with Zeb and Sabine.
Oh, yeah.
We got to see Sabine actually do a really, really mean kick.
Yes, a little bit of everything from our characters once again.
So although cool. I gotta say, for my fellow estrogen out there, it's kind of like, give Sabine more to do, and soon, please.
It's coming, I swear, it's coming.
I know, I know it's coming.
We're gonna get an awesome Sabine episode, I just know it, I feel it in my bones.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to put out there that I want to see, in later seasons, Katie Lucas write for Hera and Sabine.
That'd be a good fit.
After the stuff she did with Night Sisters, can you imagine what she would do with Hera and Sabine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, she'd probably be tempted to give Sabine... you know, she'd be like Mando with low Night Sister blood in her.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to you, you do that, and people will stop, you know, complaining and moaning about the whole graffiti art.
Oh, it's like, non-existent. It's done.
I know. But you do that with Sabine instantly. Badass character.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. So... I mean, instantly, but I know I'd like to see that. But then again, I'm the one that, you know, preaches a Bombad Zeb episode. So, what do I know?
It's all good. It's a slow burn with her. We'll get it.
Yeah, we'll get it. It's a very slow burn. All right, overall, that'll wrap this up. Overall, Matt, this episode, where does it rank for you?
Rank? Let's see, I give it a solid B plus.
Wait, you're not going to break ranks and go higher?
B plus, A minus.
All right. See what I did there? I did that for you.
Yeah. Yes, you did. You did.
See? But, yes.
Real quick, and going back to the Inquisitor coming back, and what do you think? Do you think the Inquisitor took Zar?
Yes. And let's talk about the Inquisitor's motivations for a second.
Go for it. Yes.
Now, I think much like with his the scene we were discussing. And again, yeah. We did a whole show on it, people, so that's how sick we are as fans. We'll do a whole show about very little. Well, not shows about nothing. We're not Seinfeld. We're podcasters.
Yes.
But it's kind of like that scene puts the Inquisitor in context. And this, I felt like we got more of a sense of that context with his little involvement here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Was that your impression?
Yes. And especially when Oresko calls on him, we can assume that this has all happened before, that Oresko or whomever has called upon the Inquisitor. And are other academies even doing this? And is it always the Inquisitor, or is it somebody else? Another Inquisitor? Who knows?
Who knows? You know, maybe Admiral Trench is an Inquisitor. We don't know. Although something tells me he wouldn't be able to get that helmet over his head. His helmet would need to be customed.
Oh, big time. Big time. For trench? Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine trying to fit those, multiple legs through an Inquisitor outfit? Shudders. I'm like, Filoni, don't do that. If you're listening, and I know you are, don't do that.
Yeah, but it's scary to think that, you know, what is happening with these Force sensitive kids? Where are they going? Are they being trained? Are they in the dark side?
Well, actually, if you think back to the Children of the Force episode, you know, where Palpatine was experimenting with babies.
Sure.
If you go back to that, I think, keeping that in mind and then jumping to this episode in Rebels, since Rebels is basically a sequel series, let's lay that on the table, people. Let's just put all our cards on the Sobek deck. But when you go from one to the other, I think where these children are going is almost like a dark side internment camp.
Oh, jeez. Right? It's dark. Yeah.
Yes, I know that's dark, but follow me on this one.
Yeah.
Maybe a child, maybe eventually we see where they go.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And maybe one of these children is a redheaded girl. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, are you suggesting a Mara Jade connection?
Yes.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think this was the chance for GL to just erase that. You know how much he hates Mara Jade.
I am not going by the robot chicken bit. Okay.
But no, that's just true. In actual fact, he hates Mara Jade.
Well. All right, blow holes in my theory then.
I'm sorry. No, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. It is a big possibility.
It's a possibility because Gio wiped his hands of the whole thing, remember?
Very true. Very true.
Right?
Very true.
So, and you know how much of a fan Dave Filoni is of that Legends universe.
Yes.
So, I'm just saying there are legitimate reasons to believe my connective theory here.
Hey, it's totally plausible.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, on the one hand, you have Dave always a fan of the EU/Legends universe. On the other hand, you have, you know, the obvious George wiped his hands of the whole thing and apparently married very Lando style.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay. You just wouldn't expect it for the whitest white dude ever, but whatever.
Mm.
You know, you find love in very weird ways. But hey, more power to him. He deserved it. I mean, he's done all this stuff. He's dealt with a either very grateful or ungrateful group of fans over the years.
Yeah.
And you ask me, the last year or so, they've been more ungrateful than not.
Yeah, it's that drama llama.
Yes, yes. Well, you can't shake the drama llama. It's hard to.
No, it's too big. It clinks.
Yeah, it clinks and clanks. You know, like Grievous when his gears are loose.
There you go.
All right, well, I think this will do it for us on the episode. Matt, again, thank you for your time, as always.
Oh, always a pleasure.
And I'll see you next week when we discuss... Well, you know, we're not going to tell you. We're going to be very Filoni and very cagey and not tell you.
There you go.
All right, and again, remember, stay rebellious.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
I don't have a
got the coordinates?
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm Limited, Lucasfilm Animation, respectively. All rights reserved.
Nice and quiet, life.
Jedi Master Luminara and Julie, he's been imprisoned somewhere in the Stygian system.
We can't pass this up.
Good luck.
Come on, kid, do something. Use the Force.
Ezra, your formal Jedi training starts tomorrow.
Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
I am the Inquisitor. Or Boston.
Chopper, get us out of here!
Oh, Chopper, make friends.
Hera, you're good to go.
The odds of our mission becoming a complete debacle. Don't you trust me.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Have no fear. Help is on the way.
Advance and fire!
There's a lot more at stake than you realize.
What's the worst that could happen?
Red 5 Transmissions Radio is meant for entertainment and information purposes only. All rights reserved.